Wow. As you're doing that, the scripture got quickened to me about the Lord in Hebrews 2. And it says, the Lord will declare the name of the Father in the midst of the church. There's something about in that last part of worship, because that dancing was all about celebration and victory. I find that, you know, when there's, and you know what, I'll tell you what, how of God is it considering that it is like a swamp in here? I mean, that is the Lord. Seriously, next time it breaks out, we're going to have to hand out headbands and sweat rags. Seriously, I feel like I'm preaching to Southern Baptist Church. Is there something going on? There we go. There we go. For communion, we'll be having grits. All right. Praise God. Wow. There's something about that praising God. It's one of the major things that we're talking about today. I'm going to have to condense this, but praise God. There's a cry of victory in the air, isn't there? Come on. Wow. Praise God. It's a very, very good drinking atmosphere. It is. Do we have any pictures to put up there that you guys can read? Oh, we got some cars that need to be moved. Can we put those up first? Right. Okay, so there's a... we've got a Zoom Zoom up there. We've got a Grey Nomad at the bottom. We have, so if you could please move those, that's really important. So we don't win the world to Jesus and lose all of our neighbours, all right? So please, if you could... Everyone's cooling themselves down, so they'll just think you're going out for some fresh air. So please do that if that's one of your cars up there. It's important we put the colours down because most people don't know what their rego is. I've got a grey one. All right. What else do we have? Okay, Easter coming up. Please register. We've already got a couple of hundred. So it's for catering purposes. It's really, really good time to... You get people who don't go to church... for want of a better word, Easter, or unless it's Easter or Christmas. So please register for that. It's important. I don't know if we're gonna pull up stumps on the registration. Probably be the week of or something like that. So very important, and it's here. And we might even give you. There we go. We've got Alejandra coming up on Sunday. It's the afternoon service. So bring people to be prayed for. I've just been on the phone to him. He's doing massive crusades around the world. And so, Kim, if you do something with him, make it a Monday night, because I want to catch him Tuesday night after the service. So, oh, well, no, it's actually school holiday. Should I remember that? And when does school holiday start? Just after Easter? So the Sunday we're good? Yeah. Okay, so when does school holiday start? I've just been told. So, 13th. Okay. So Alejandro is speaking on the 13th. Okay, yes, it is. You're right. Okay, wonderful. Gosh, I'm anointed at announcements. Annoying announcements. All right, so I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for open heavens. Thank you for the word of the Lord. I just thank you, Lord God, that for people being supernaturally cool. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm gonna mention talk about something that it is for everybody, and Rachel and I sort of sitting down this morning, we're back and forth. So, spirit of revelation opened up in the house, and you know, I might as well just give the microphone to my wife. But she was saying, she's like, no, okay. So, what I want to talk about. Today we have a title, it's called Graduation for Governance. Now, when I get stuff in the spirit, this is one of those no wiggle rooms. So you need to receive this, because if you receive it and act on it, things will happen so much quicker for you. Okay? We can decree acceleration all we want, but if we don't have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, it'll just be a catch cry cliche that we say from time to time. But one of the things we need to know, we start with Isaiah 55, please. And God says very clearly, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Now think about it. Hey, the way you think, and the Lord goes, oh, no, 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 no. The way you think is not the way God thinks. So just stop trying to make God like you. All right, he already did that. But stop trying to make him like you. So just be completely assured and secure. The fact is that your thoughts are not God's thoughts. That's really good. That's a really good start. Because I tell you what, I'd be really, really disturbed if God was thinking my thoughts. I went, what the heck is the hope for any of us? Anyway, so for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. That'd be good at the beginning of an Amway conference. Anyway, so for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I've been in the Lord over 30 years and you see cycles come and go, but a big thing is the whole reality of a tapestry. Because at the back of a tapestry, it's when people take material and wool or something and they weave an image, but you look at the underside and all these raggedy bits hanging out the back and you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. You flip it over and you've got this incredible image. And there's a very powerful principle in that. We need to, this is why we are so big on the spirit of wisdom and understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. So we need to know what are God's ways. This is really important because if we don't know what God's ways are, this is what will happen. He's trying to tapestry us and we're resisting him. And what happens is that resisting God doesn't really work out. If you recognize him doing something, then you can cooperate and everything's quicker. So this is what we're on about, is that graduation for governance. One of those things is this. Has anyone ever wondered why they go, right, I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to pray for something. And as soon as they engage prayer, everything goes to the opposite of what they're praying. Because we need to know God's ways. It's not some cosmic joke. We need to understand that his ways and thoughts are so far above ours. And so when we know his ways, we can cooperate with him. Mike Murdoch talks about the law of recognition. God in the flesh went to Jerusalem and they did not recognize their time of visitation. They didn't recognize. So we need to, through the Holy Spirit, recognize what God is doing and what that looks like. And so in one of our discussions this morning, so language is important because language helps us to identify and articulate something. If you can identify and articulate it, you can bring it into focus. If you can give something language, you can bring it into focus. If something just is like, yeah, that's amazing, what does it mean? I don't know. You've received something, but you can't reproduce it. So language is very, very powerful. Now, one thing that we've used from the Word, Psalm 119, I can't remember which one. Just had a ding. Someone can remind me. It says that all of my days were before you, before one of them came to be. Are they not written in your book? Psalm 139:16. There we go. I nearly went 119. Nah, I've been sitting in that one. So 139:16 says, all of my days were before you, before one of them came to be. And one thing that we've been led into, it's one thing to go, I love the prophetic. If you love the prophetic, you bend your ear to the voice of the Lord and you honor the prophetic revelation, the prophetic word, you'll engage it and cooperate with God's manifestation of it. So what that means is this, is there is a specific plan for your life. It's called the will of God. So we talk about books and scrolls. That is a cornerstone, especially in Illuminate, but us as a church, is we don't want to just connect everyone in with purely the generic. Now the generic is pretty amazing, okay? Studying scripture, learning, being led of the Spirit, etc. But God has a specific plan for you. I know because I tried to run from that specific plan. He said, I'm calling you to the ministry. And I'm like, really? No, no thanks. Oh my gosh, you got King, you got the God of glory. And he calls you. It's just something and you go, no thanks. I did that. And it's sort of like, it's spelt B-A-R-R-E-N. That's a good one. And C-H-A-O-S, that's a good one. So So he says, I have a specific plan for you. And you're like, no. Nah. You know what's funny is when someone's called to be a prophet, and they went, but I don't want to be a prophet. And the Lord goes, huh, really? And then you go, Lord, why am I in a pit? Why am I in a dungeon, Lord? And he goes, well, then prophesy. So scrolls is a cornerstone of prophetic revelation, because I believe everything that the people's prophesying and speaking out is actually written somewhere. Uproot, tear down, throw down, destroy, or build and plant. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In the volume of your book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. So there's something else that we've been chewing on, that recognizing something that's happening now. This is very important. If I can give this sufficient language for you to wrap your spirit around, things will be a lot easier for you, okay? So we hear a lot the words breakthrough. And I understand Baal-perism and the breaking through of such. I understand that. But breakthrough can be quite abstract. And people go, breakthrough's coming. And I don't want to shoot that stuff down in flames. But it needs to be refined and developed. Now, everyone would love, 50 cents or a dollar every time they hear that mentioned. And we should celebrate breakthrough or tipping point, right? But one of the things that there are some very, very interesting books out there. There's one by a guy, I think, called Clay Trumbull. Who's heard of Clay Trumbull? We're talking old English stuff. And this is what I want people to really catch is the principle of the threshold. Is the threshold. So we know, most people go, oh yeah, you get married and the groom carries the wife over the threshold. They're coming from one place into another completely different place with completely different conditions. So we know that. I'm not gonna drill down on the meaning of that. But one of the things is that you go, okay, so you got breakthrough, great, that's a part of it. But then you have thresholds. I would say, if you want to describe that as what a threshold is, it is a crossing over. It is a crossing over. And what I'm going to share today, you'll go, oh my gosh, this has been my whole life. If we can give something language, you can see things turn a lot quicker than you originally expected. So, so every threshold, there's a principle of a heavenly call to obedience, which is designed to bring us higher and closer to Him, where we forsake our ways and trusting in ourselves to His ways and trusting in Him. So thresholds are a crossing over, but a higher altitude. We're talking greater glory, greater anointing, access to crazy stuff. I mean, their places is an interesting word, because we just think that the spirit realm of the ether. No. The invisible world is full of places. It actually talks about heavenly places in Christ, but even says that Esau was really sorry that he sold his birthright and inheritance, but he sought it diligently with tears. So he was sorry that he lost out, Esau. But he could not find a place of repentance, topos, topography. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, but it's a place. Technically speaking, on his deathbed, Pol Pot could have come to Christ. But what happens, he was probably in so much darkness and he'd given himself over to such evil, the killing fields, etc., that it was accessible to him, but he actually might not have found the place of repentance. I mean, this is real. What we're doing is we're mapping the invisible world. But thresholds are crossing over to coming to a higher place. We talked last week is that time is represented by cycles, and those cycles are going somewhere. And it's not like we're just spinning our wheels, but you've got from the wilderness wanderings all the way through to the book of Judges, all the way through to what's happened in 2020 actually had a lot of characteristics of the Second World War build-up. It really, really did. You know, dobbing your neighbor. You got one people too many over at your house. Who remembers that? My goodness. I saw a meme and it had a picture of Adolf Hitler. It says, if you dobbed in your neighbours, you did the right thing. These are patterns and cycles. And you can see them from George Orwell all the way through. And so we have to break those cycles and come into a higher place in Christ. And we do that by crossing thresholds. Red Sea is an obvious one, I mentioned that. Jordan crossing over. The victory of Jericho. That was the first place they engaged. They crossed over that threshold, go, this is easy. And they went to Ai, a much smaller place, and they're like, nah, we got this, Lord. And they got smashed. Because they didn't, they started to trust in the flesh, and obviously there was a traitor amongst them, etc. Returning from captivity from Babylon, that was a threshold. You know, most of the Jewish believers chose not to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild. They wanted to stay in the diaspora. It's crazy. They chose not to cross the threshold. Now, so what happens is that God's good because he still provides for us, but there is a call to cross thresholds. We go from glory to glory, but you can't go from glory to glory without avoiding threshold to threshold. And so we need to know specifically what this looks like. It looks like something. Because if I can understand what's going on in my world, I can cooperate with God. I might not initially like it, but at least I can cooperate it. Nothing worse than getting your brains beaten in and you don't know why. Say, Lord, dear Lord, please show me why I'm getting my brains beaten in. Amen. But then you can cooperate. This is why with all we get and get understanding, wisdom is the principal thing. I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, that your eyes would be open. So you go, okay. Does the Bible talk about thresholds? Everywhere. But we just need the right lens and the right keys to understand it. But there is a very, very concentrated manifest example that is a template for you and I. It's a template. God has a template for you to navigate the invisible dimensions. You don't have to, look, seeing the Spirit is fun, it's cool, can be disturbing. Sort of like, how are you going? I see dead people, you know what I'm like, so that's pretty cool. But the Lord says, look, he wants our spiritual eyes to be open, but he says, we can actually map this easily. So you go, all right, where's it? Now, I'm now going to talk about a school that we're all in. You're all in this school. Okay, you've been enrolled. But it doesn't mean you'll graduate. You're meant to graduate, but we're all enrolled. No one gets out of this one because God loves us way too much. He doesn't want us to step across into glory and be unprepared to lay a hold of our full reward. This is important because, but I want my reward now. You'll kill yourself and others, okay? So this is the school that God's put you and I in, and this is the most manifest, clearest threshold. If you understand this, you go, oh. 1 Corinthians 10. Let's do this. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea, thresholds. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God wasn't really happy. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Go down to verse 11, please. Verse 11, if thou mayest. Okay, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition or correction or encouragement, sternly though, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So what we have here is Israel was called to go from glory to glory. No, not like those in Christ, very, very different in Christ, like much higher level, but the plagues. Guy called Moses rocks up. Oh yeah, he used to be in the king's palace. Then he disappears. You know, he was sort of like on Egypt's most wanted. You know, Moses, what you got? You know, and so he just reappears and he's just like, okay, God's appeared to me. They're like, what's his name? Because in Hebrew culture, you have to name everything. If you can't name something, it doesn't exist. So naming stuff is a big deal. What's his name? I am. It's so abstract. And then he had the signs. Now you've got this guy like, there's a lot of Hebrews. And he's at the stick and the snake and the leprosy. And he goes, okay, I'm going to go to Pharaoh and get the plagues. This is what's going to happen. And then it actually took them a lot of faith to obey the Passover. Big deal. You know, and the very specific instructions, that was a crossing over, a passing over, a crossing over. And then the Lord says, and he says, let my people go so they can come and serve me in the wilderness. And obviously we've talked about crossing the Red Sea. I mean, there was a lot of cortisol in with the Hebrew clan that day. You imagine, and you've got this cloud and you're going, but that's not enough. And then you've got the most modern army in known existence. And so then they crossed over. It's a crossing over. It's a threshold. Because what they had waiting for them was very different to Egypt. They were happy, onions and leeks, etc., right? But they were still slaves. And God says, no. I have a plan for you to be a kingdom of priests. And the blessings I have to you. Israel, I chose you, not because you're the best and brightest or the most numerous, but because you are to be my special, peculiar people. And then God says, I brought you to myself on eagle's wings to come across a threshold, but I still need your cooperation. So they crossed the Red Sea, which is a threshold, into the wilderness, and they were to go from threshold to threshold, glory to glory. These are a pattern for us. And when you realize that, you go, you can't avoid. As we were saying last week, or Tuesday night or Sunday, when you're coming up to a threshold, that's when you feel concentrated pressure. You go, man, I feel pressure. You're at a threshold. Because any fallen entities or the demonic, that's where they concentrate their efforts. Because they understand a level of strategy. So what we have here is that this is a template for us crossing thresholds. And what we need to do is we need to juxtapose Israel and Jesus. Because they're in the wilderness for 40 years trying to cross a threshold. 40 years. Because they didn't believe and they kept complaining and they were idol worshippers. And that kept them from crossing the threshold. So they're our example. But then you have our perfect example. That's Jesus. He fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and then the enemy tempted him. That was a threshold. Coming out of the wilderness, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, and he says, it is written. So Jesus crossed that threshold. So thresholds aren't set by chronological time. Thresholds are determined by obedience. You've got 40 years compared to Johnny on the spot. That's huge. See, if you can understand this, you go, my gosh, I don't have to be stuck in this place that I've been stuck in, but it's completely contingent on obedience. Can someone say amen? So they couldn't stop complaining, the unbelief, the idolatry, etc. So what's really interesting, again, in our conversations this morning, I've never heard from God clearer in my life. There's reading the Bible and then there's studying it. And I actually can't put it down. The things that are, David says, show me wonderful things in your word. And it says tasting of the good word of God. I understand Logos and Rhema, the difference, I get it. But I just can't put it down. It's hard for me to read a book that's not the Bible because they're so powerless. You can have somebody write something on a revelatory basis, but its value is it unlocks the Bible. It's not in lieu of. Or you can have a book of testimonies, people dying, going to heaven, coming back, and you feel incredibly comforted, inspired, but it still isn't faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. So tasting of the good word of God, and I'm doing quite well, and I'm having reoccurring dreams, weird dreams of the wilderness. And I'm waking up going, I don't get it. I'm like, Lord, I'm spending so much time in your presence. And it's and this morning then we go, oh, that's it. Because we're crossing a threshold. We're not stuck in the wilderness, we're crossing over. Isn't that exciting? So it's not a chronology thing, it's an obedience thing. And so this is why we need to know about thresholds and what they look like. And I think threshold is more accurate language than just purely breakthrough. I don't have a problem with breakthrough, but it needs a little bit more fleshing out. And so these wilderness, weird ones where, you know, those dreams where you're looking at someone, but it's you, but it's not, but it is, but it's not. And you try and tell someone, they're like going, okay. And we're talking like dry desert places. I'm going, don't you love me anymore? You know, like, and it's because it's a crossing over. And when you start to understand, you go, oh my goodness. So no one's stuck there, but Israel are there for our example. They died there because they couldn't overcome their mouth. They couldn't overcome complaining and projecting. And they couldn't overcome unbelief. And Jesus, obviously, he's the one that we've got to follow. But Israel's our example of what not to do. So what's interesting is like, so we go, this is important how you form your concepts. You're getting your breakthrough and we just think one day you're going to wake up and everything's changed. Well, there's a science to suddenlies. And so you go, how long's a threshold? It's like, how long have you got? If you completely yield to the Lord and are diligent, that crossing your thresholds could be quite short. Who wants that? And this is where, see, this is real. This is real. You can't fake it. You can't fake promotion. When you get people and they haven't grown spiritually, but they try and act like they do, wah. Jesus. And you're like, whoa, religious spirit. And it's like, God bless you, brother. And it's sort of like, dang. I mean, I understand some things are cultural. Someone can be carrying hectic glory and speaking like that. All right, so I don't want to get into semantics. But you can't fake promotion because demons see. Jesus is in the synagogue and it's the only welcoming party with the devils. Everyone else was offended and demons like, ah, they can see. And so, clear a path, you know. And so, you can't fake this stuff. So, I would say, you guys know, and as an object lesson, I didn't have any of this language. I know what it's to do the right thing continually in principle while I'm being baptized in a spirit of hopelessness. Seriously, you just keep doing it. God's word's that powerful. It's sort of like, I don't think anything, hopelessness looks like this. Nothing's ever gonna change. That's a lie. That's a lie, okay? And I know what it's like just to obey the Lord and his word is powerful enough. But what happened was, you know the story, 28 years of age. If I had to, now it says, you desire truth on the inward parts. I used to go, I cannot specifically pinpoint an insane supernatural answer to prayer that there's no, you can't explain away. There are times I prayed and it sort of would happen and 28. I was like 10 years in the Lord and I went, Todd, that's pathetic. I had to be real. And rather than just sit there and sort of like, you know, just feel, you know, have a pity party. As I decided, I looked at the Bible. I never forget this moment. I looked at the Bible on this table in a back room where I lived. And I went, either this is true or it's not. It's either real or it's not. It works or it doesn't. I mean, I just it's just you and me, buddy. That's it. And so then I then crossed the threshold without understanding it. And the two things I did was I lived in the Word to the point I believed it, wasn't here, came here. And secondly, I engaged with praising God like everything he said was true and coming to pass or had come to pass. Those two things. I was crossing a threshold. How long, Todd, did it take you to cross that threshold? I would say 3 months. I could say maybe as little as 2 months. Wow, that's, no. Because the threshold isn't based on April, May, June. It's based on obedience, surrender, consecration. That's what it's, so if you're stubborn or lazy, it's gonna be a long threshold. But you can't get out of it. You actually can't, because God wants you to cross that threshold more than we do. And he wants us to bring us to him on eagle's wings, not doctrinally, experientially in the realm of the Spirit. And thresholds is from glory to glory, threshold to threshold, faith to faith. And so this is all through Scripture. And we're all in this school. But we're going to make sure we graduate and graduate quickly with honors. Seriously. And so out of this, so you go, okay, all right, what does this look like? Okay, so when I'm coming up the threshold, I would say, if I was to describe myself on a biblical level, when I was 28, I was a loser. And so, because I had just forfeited my inheritance. I didn't value it. I just thought it, treated it as a common thing. I was a loser. You got to lose something first to be called a loser. So here I am, barren and a loser, and I'm going, the Bible works or it doesn't. So I engage a threshold, and things just were wonderful. I went to hell and back. As soon as I engage that spirit of I want to break through, Lord, everything, it's sort of like, so the demons are sitting around sort of like, and then all of a sudden I start praying, they're like, and then that's what, threshold spirits. And I'm just getting, like, literally, I'm like, I would wake up at 4 in the morning, like I'm being waterboarded by spirits. It's quite plausible now you think about it. So, we're talking hectic, the torment, and I'm engaging. I want to enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. That's what I was doing. Sort of like, get up again. It was hectic. I'm crossing a threshold. I'm crossing a threshold. It's torment. And nothing made sense. But what happened is this. I said, Lord, who have I in heaven but you? Lord, you're my portion. You're my reward. Lord. And I just held a line. One of the only things that got me through is the fact I had a background as an athlete. I know what it is to train and have lots of pain. Okay? And I thought, well, pain's not bad. It's actually necessary. Then what happened is this. After 2 to 3 months, one day of just crossing that threshold and praising God and believing the word and reformatting my hard drive, something subtle happened. Something just went, and I went, oh, I have it. Oh my God, I have it. And I went from praising God to praising God. I'll tell you what, from being a loser, a barren loser, I don't have a problem with that language, to be honest. You've got to be quite brutal on bad things. Okay, oh, you know, no, zero wokeness here. Zero wokeness, okay? But you know what, something happened. Everything I prayed for came to pass within days. Everything. Like I was walking in a supernatural dimension of faith. I say, Lord, I need this. It would happen. I was walking in a dimension that was, I crossed the threshold. Now, some of these things you go, you can bind this and do karate chopping on that one and scream and yell. But what one of the biggest forms of warfare, see, the spirit dimension actually looks into you and examines your character, what's inside of you. You can't fake it. And what happens when you cross, you've actually been promoted and those demons get smashed. Crossing over smashes them. Talks about the water spirit called Rahab, and when they crossed, this thing got destroyed. It actually says that Leviathan's heads, multiple heads were smashed in Psalm 74 when they crossed over. Crossing over smashes the enemy. And sometimes the best thing to do is praise God, but allow the Lord to deal with your inner world. Can someone say amen? This church would not have existed. Is everyone doing okay? Okay, I've got to go a little bit over time. I want to land this. But this church would not have existed if I didn't go through that threshold. Because I learned I can call those things that aren't as though they are. This didn't, no, I was bawling my eyes out down here. How good was the worship? I could hear the Lord. I could hear so much. And no, you know what? No one can take credit for this church. No one can take credit. I've got my role. Whoopee. No one can take credit. But I'll tell you what right now is that I got sifted. I got sifted. I got so sifted. We hate being sifted. But God says, I have to pull that stuff out of you. Got to get the rocks out. You know. You found any gold yet? Keep going. What about now? No. I'm getting sifted. You know, Luke 22. Simon, Satan has asked to sift you. He's petitioned to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed that your faith will not fail. Go and then go and strengthen your brethren. We go, oh, he didn't get sifted. He did. He did. You want to be sifted. You do. Because what happened, you got to think of it like this. Think of it like this. There wasn't a huge difference between Judas and Peter. One sold the Lord out, the other one denied him. If you deny me before men, he's even given swearing. I'm blankety blank, don't know this guy. Well, he ghosted the Lord. And Jesus caught his eye and he wept bitterly. And so that's why Jesus, when he came back, three times, Simon, do you love me? Had to see him restored. See, he got sifted. So crossing a threshold will sift you. You can't take the same rubbish over the threshold. You're going to have to consecrate yourself and you have to be changed. Can someone say amen? Then you come into your reward, your inheritance. But people don't. They're so resistant to change. I just comfort. Okay, but then change. And so it's crossing that threshold. You know, don't shrink back. I believe 2020 was a threshold year. 2020. And so, talking to Alejandro, I said, look, what I've been told, this is all anecdotal, I'm sure this was not a survey done by the Andrews government, but I was told in Victoria, some of 30, 40% of all churchgoers never went back to church. Okay, the Andrews government wouldn't come up with that, they don't care. That's a sifting. That's a lot of people. So I remember telling Alejandro this, he goes, no, Todd, that's worldwide. 2020 sifted the church. And people go, it's too hard. Now, let's put a caveat in there. I'm sure some very, very powerful home church movements started. I think that, I'm cool with that. We all don't have to gather in the same building. They went from the house to house and in the temple breaking bread, etc. So, but then we got sifted. And I'm telling you right now, 2024 is a threshold year. There is something, there's so much going on. There's such a chronic control of the media. Most people have no idea what's taking place with NATO right now. It's full on. We're in a threshold year. But what God's calling us to do, he wants graduation for governance. And we need to know that we can break the cycles in our life if we choose to cross the threshold with the Lord in the whole mentality of breakthrough. But we can't be the same people crossing over. We cannot. So we've gone, where do we get change? Where's the school? It's in the wilderness. But I live in a beautiful place. You know, but I live in Cairns. That's not a wilderness. It's wilderness. The amount of time scripture talks about the wilderness. It's hectic. It's a spiritual dimension. Where you completely cannot trust yourself, you trust in the Lord and allow him to take everything out of your life that he says, can I have that please? If you treat the things in your life like a bonbon at Christmas time, the Lord says, can I have it? Just give it to him. So Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are you're our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. It actually says, woe to him who strives with his maker. God's made you. You don't exist for you. Can I understand? My whole paradigm, do you know how hard it is? And have I arrived? A fair bit, but there's still a ways to go. My whole paradigm as a carnal Aussie male, selfishness. That one runs deep. Marrow. Okay, deep. And then the Lord goes, you don't exist for you. I created you for me. And you're like, that's confronting. People go, yes and amen. But it's sort of like, as soon as the service finishes, what do I feel like doing? What am I going to eat? Who am I going to talk to? We have to change that inner dimension of we are created for His good pleasure, but you can't change yourself. You can't change yourself. You can't. I've tried. It's hopeless. What I can do, though, is I can make good choices. I can consecrate myself and I can be disciplined and I can lean into God and obey His voice. Only He can change me. Now, you need to know, you can't make yourself holy. And everyone in their heart screamed amen. You can't. But you can yield to the Lord and allow that sifting to take place. And see, that stuff that the Lord wants you bring, you can't, it won't go through the crossing over that He wants. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. And so we need to know that we can't change ourselves, but we can consecrate. 2 Timothy, please. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so this is what God's doing with thresholds. He wants to break the cycles. You're going, how come I can't get this and this and this? Because we're functioning in a low place. He says, come up here, but it'll cost us. It will cost us. You've got to go, I am so... This is why so many people connect with the Lord in crises. Because, you know, a man or woman are only faithful as their options. Your options get shut down. Lord goes, Lord, you have my full attention. But He wants us to cross over, but it's not just an easy thing. Now this is we're all in this school. Okay? Now I'm gonna say this now, and I really mean it. We're all in this together. We are. And so what we got is this. This is important. Here's the potter, where the clay. And there's an operating table reality. Now what's crazy is this. We're actually landing the plane. I'm quite happy with that. Okay, so if we've gone where, it's in the wilderness. This is thresholds. Why? Because He needs vessels of honor. He needs that being should be a resting state. You think of it like this. Is that whatever you want to... We got the kingdom of God is within. Allow God to sift us. If He's putting His finger on something, it means that's the thing stopping you from crossing over. In fact, it might be killing you. Wrong thinking, wrong habits, wrong speech. He says, can I please have that? That's what King David said, your gentleness has made me great. And he made a lot of mistakes. All right, we can airbrush David. But he made a lot of mistakes. And then he turns around and says, Lord, your gentleness has made me great. God will be as gentle as He can in sifting. But we've got to make a decision to completely give ourselves to Him. Can someone say amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. Okay. How? 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice. Now this is important. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various pressure points, trials. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes... Though it is tested by fire, the word test here means to test, examine, and approve. This is the cool thing, is that not only you cross the threshold, but you go across as a different person and you can engage a much higher level. So that you're being tested by fire, right? And then your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so this is what's so cool, is that I believe we're in a threshold year. We're all in similar places, but different places. And I don't want to get stuck in this. I don't want this to be anything like 2020. I don't, all right? See, for me, I have to lead a church or churches or whatever, online, here, whatever, right? And so I've got to lead that, but I've got to cross my own thresholds. But this is screaming at me at the moment. And so I'm like, if I know that I'm crossing something to, for greater glory, boy, it helps me to cooperate with the Lord. Otherwise, you got people and they're like, there's a disconnect with their spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is connected to what manifests in your life. It's not some disassociative state. It's a self-indulgent sort of partition from reality. Is that your spirituality actually gives you access to greater things in the kingdom of God. We're talking graduating for governance. Everyone is called to go over thresholds through the wilderness, and everyone's meant to graduate. Everyone's meant to graduate. If there's stuff in your life and the Lord goes, can I have that? Nah. Then you pull back from the threshold and you get stuck. You've got people who've been saved for 10, 20, 30 years and they haven't grown. And God's saying, it's a really, really big deal. Really big deal. So he's the potter, we're the clay, right? Who remembers that song? Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. So if like you always sung that song like going, okay, hey, Book of Job feels, change my heart, oh God. Oh, Maddie will sing it now. All right. And so I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm going, he goes, potter, clay. And what's the best way to cross thresholds? Because what happens if you're a piece of clay? Bet you're very stiff. That's a problem. And the Lord said, that's really simple. Rehydration. When you can take quite old clay and rehydrate it and remold it. And this is why God is saying, I want you to engage the realm of my spirit through praise. This is what this whole thing's about today. What do you think happened earlier? God's giving a demonstration. He's going, all right, we're going to get him really happy, Todd, and then you're going to give him the Brussels sprouts. Okay? That's what we're going to do. Just, yeah! Wilderness. But it's not about the wilderness, it's about thresholds. I'm reoccurring dreams. I'm going, I'm weirded out. And Rafe said, we're crossing a threshold. We're crossing a threshold. This is really cool. Because I think that if let's just say hypothetically, there's a lot of prophetic people here. Hypothetically, things are going to happen with the prophets, hypothetically, before other people, hypothetically. And so the prophets go through the threshold, hypothetically. They can actually lead, and if a trumpet makes a certain sound, hypothetically. And so rehydration, and this is what the whole thing is. Psalm 22:3, rehydration. But you are wholly enthroned on the praises of Israel, or the praises of God's people. That is how I cross every threshold. This is the most consistent thing. I learn to praise God. It is not singing. Singing is merely the expression. If you just go, I'm going to sing by way over, that's not where it's at. It's praising God. And that's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Some of the most powerful times of praise is when I felt rubbish. And then it's sort of like 1 John. It goes, the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're very gentle. The Bible's very gentle. And then you just got to put it on the altar. The brazen altar. And then you offer up the sacrifice of praise. That's when it's most powerful. It's great to praise God when everything's going well. But this is, we cross that threshold. Do you know what you do when you praise God? You feel rubbish? You are making a choice to not just praise God, but you're preaching to your inner world. This is why lying, sarcasm, exaggeration, deception destroys you on the inside, and you couldn't even move a molehill, let alone a mountain. And so praising God is like see, God dwells, where he dwells is the cloud. Where the cloud is, there is moisture. Clay can get rehydrated. If you can stay in the presence of the Lord during crossing something over, he'll take stuff out of you. You won't even feel it. You won't even feel it. This is why he wants us to be drunk out of our minds sometimes. So I'm like, can I please have that? Not a problem. Seriously. We've got to do it. Otherwise you become a crusty stoic. Sort of like, how would you like to be like me? And I went, no, thank you. He said, this is why the rehydration program in the Holy Ghost, that's why it says, in this you greatly rejoice. The sacrifice of praise over thresholds. Be committed to decrease while he increases. This is the last thing I'll say. Now, don't worry about putting it up. It says in Psalms, I think 22, it says, out of the mouth of infants and babes you've ordained strength. And we spoke on this last year because we're in a cycle. We're going to be in a higher cycle though. Jesus said, they're praising Jesus when he's entering Jerusalem. The kids are. The religious leaders really had a problem with that. And they're like, Hosanna in the highest. And they were like really upset, you know. And he said, do you not know it's written, you know, out of the mouth of babes, you've perfected praise. You've perfected praise. In Australia, we're not bad at worship. Not bad. Not bad. But I'll tell you what, entering his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. There's something about that. Every threshold I've crossed. Now, I would like to say it takes a couple of weeks. What I'm telling you today is this. I'm getting you, as they say, to gird up the loins of your mind, to put on the belt of truth. You've got the robe. You've got to hitch it in here so you can run. This is a threshold year. You want to do it as drunk as you can. But you want to understand and cooperate with the Lord. There's stuff in our lives that the Lord says, I can't have this on a higher dimension. I cannot have this in the glory. I want to promote you, son, daughter, to govern. You can't get out of this. And this is why he wants us to cooperate. Who knows, this is a word for them. I won't even look. Every hand, eye closed, every head bowed. Yeah. All right. No. Because this is the word of the Lord. I know when it just comes to me, I'm sort of like, whoo, that's good. But we have to praise him. We have to praise him. Because what happens, and when it says God dwells in the praises of his people, you engage the supernatural dimension where God is, and then when you're in that place, he goes, I'll have some of that. Give me that. Put that in there. Take that out. And then you cross that threshold to a higher place. When you start to see that it's all through Scripture, and God doesn't want us to get stuck in patterns. Who wants to cross that threshold as quickly as they can? Come on, it's so exciting. But now you can cooperate. I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to get it by hearing it once. We're going to have to repeat it in very, very clever ways. But it's like you go, wow. And you know what? If you do complete obedience, it doesn't have to be long. You get people that don't understand this and they're stuck in the same place for decades. I'd rather take my lumps real quick. All right? I don't want this dragged out. I don't want this dragged down. If I'm going to suffer, I want to point to it. I want to point to it. This is not torment, by the way. But we've got to learn to praise the Lord. We've got to magnify God bigger than any situation. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut off the live. She said, make it obvious.